plate a potential nugget.
The other theme that was interesting, Ethan, was you talk about how we provide support effectively when somebody is going through a rough patch. And you say that we need to offer the right balance of listening and empathy and problem solving. Once again, to understand how we walk that tightrope, I was curious about, you know, how you think about offering support if you're on the receiving end of chatter. What's your experience on that front?
Well, I think this is a really important issue because in popular culture, we're often told that what you want to do when you're experiencing chatter is just find someone to vent your emotions, to just get it out. There's been a lot of research on this process. And what we've learned is that venting can be really helpful for strengthening the friendship and relational bonds between two people. It feels good to know there are other people there who are willing to take time to listen and connect with us. The problem with venting is if all you do in a conversation is vent about your problems, you often leave that conversation just as upset, if not more upset, as when you started. Because all you've done is kept the negative stuff active in your minds. The best conversations when it comes to chatter allow us to do two things. First, it is important to find someone who allows us to express our feelings to a certain degree. Establishing those relational and empathy connections is really useful. But at a certain point in the conversation, the person you're speaking with ideally helps broaden your perspective. They help you look at that bigger picture in ways that ultimately allow you to find meaning and reach a sense of closure that allows you to move on. So there's this balance between wanting to talk to people who can both empathize and connect, but also help coach you through the problem. And I call those people in my life my chatter advisors. And I don't have many, but I have enough. And I think the take home here for listeners is twofold. It's number one, if you're experiencing chatter, be really thoughtful about who you speak to about it, because speaking to anyone isn't necessarily going to be helpful. There are some people in my life who I'm extremely close with. I love them. I respect them. I never talk to them about my chatter because I know that the way that they're going to try to help me is by just allowing me to vent, which isn't going to serve me in the long run. So the people I talk to instead are the 3 to 5 people who I know are adept at not just listening and getting me to vent, also helping broaden my perspective. And so I've got those people on my speed dial list, and it's a resource that I avail myself of when I'm struggling. So that's one take home. The second take home is if you are on the other side of the equation, and someone is coming to you, a colleague, a loved one, for chatter support, be mindful of these two principles. Take the time to listen and connect. But at a certain point in the conversation, when you see your opening, try to help them work through that experience. Now, there is an art to doing this well. I wish I could tell listeners, okay, the thing you want to do is listen and let them vent for 96 seconds. Then shift into problem solving. It doesn't work this way. We are way too complicated. To expect it to be that simple, I think, does disjustice to the beauty of the human condition. So the art to doing this well involves taking the time to listen and connect. And then sometimes it can be apparent when you should start shifting into that coaching mode. But if it's not, my suggestion is to ask the person you're talking to, hey, I totally get it, but I have an idea. Can I ask you a question? Sometimes I'll pose that question to someone I'm talking with and they'll say, please, yes, tell me, what do you think? Or what should I do about this? That's why I'm talking to you. Sometimes I'll be ready for feedback. Other conversations, the person I'm talking to will say, no, just keep moving. I'm not ready yet. And that's fine, because depending on the person and the circumstance they're dealing with, some people may need to spend more time in that empathy zone before they're ready to shift into the cognitive zone. But those are the principles of providing and receiving good chatter support.
And back to your point about having, let's say, 4 to 5 chatter advisors on your speed dial, is there, if you had to sort of think about what are the 3-4 characteristics, unifying characteristics that they possess? Are there things that stand out?
There is, yeah, there are. There's there's either an implicit or explicit awareness of how these principles operate. And what I mean by that is there's some people on this list who have what you might describe as a high socio-emotional intelligence factor. They are in tune to the fact that the emotional connection is really important, but that you also need to help people actually concretely deal with problems and find solutions. Some people, for reasons we don't know, maybe some of it inbuilt or absorbed from their early childhood experiences, just have that intuition. And there are a couple of people on the list like that. But then there are other folks on the list who actually are aware of this sign. These are colleagues, friends who are psychologically oriented and know how this stuff works. And for that reason, are quite deliberate in how they talk to you about these things. Now, I should add, the people on this list, they're not doing therapy. There may be a therapist on it, but just as a matter of coincidence, I'm friends with one. It's not a formal therapeutic exchange. What we're talking about in many ways is having really powerful relationships that you can rely on to help you work through chatter-provoking circumstances. Other people are in an ideal position to help us because they have distance from the problem. They can be that objective guidepost that we can lean on. And so it's just a matter of finding the right individuals who are capable of actualizing the potential they have.
As Ethan says, it's quite tricky indeed to figure out when we should transition from a listening and allowing to vent mode to a problem-solving mode. I grapple with this all the time, whether it's in my coaching work or in the day-to-day conversations with the people around me. Recently, my teenage daughter came and spoke to me about an episode at school where she was at the receiving end of some cyberbullying episodes that happened during COVID times. I realized that I'd gotten into problem-solving mode too soon with her when my wife cautioned me separately to listen and allow her to vent before we gave her suggestions to cope with the situation. Thankfully, the situation got resolved without too much collateral damage thanks to some timely help from the school. But I guess we have several conversations in our daily life where we have to make the choice of listening and allowing venting and problem-solving. As Ethan says, no magic pill here. But I feel the best we can do is to be fully aware and present to how the other person is feeling through the conversation and using that as a cue to transition from the emotional side to the cognitive side, as he says. Thank you for listening.